Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos. We are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. We are entering hour number two, telling you about our most recent adventure in Puerto Rico. We just came back days ago, and an expedition into the Bermuda Triangle with a great group of friends who all became certified in the specialty of Bermuda Triangle investigation. Of course, there was Miss Wright here. We had Patty. We had Justin. We had Connie. We had Andrea. We had Susan, C. Eric Scott, and myself. You know, it's interesting, Shelley, you and Patty and myself are from North Carolina. Justin is from Missouri. Connie is from Washington State. Andrea is from Toronto, Canada. Susan is from Nebraska, but now works in Houston, Texas. And C. Eric is from Ohio, really. He considers himself an Ohioan, even though he works a lot in Washington, D.C., and Asheville. So we had a diverse group of people there from around North America.
We certainly did.
An international party.
International.
Of explorers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's this bay, the bioluminescent bay there in Puerto Rico, the brightest bioluminescent bay in the world, according to Guinness Book. And there are various ways you can go in there. They used to let you jump in and swim around, but the Department of Natural Resources says that it has begun to damage the delicate microorganisms, that the oils from the human skin and all the crap that we put on deodorant and cologne or whatever else could degrade them. So now they don't allow you to jump in, but you can take a kayak out, and you're right there, you're getting wet, you're in the water, you can reach down and pull up these big handfuls of water and see little twinkles as they run down your arm. It's quite amazing. But when it came time for the kayaking excursion, the main guide was giving us all the instructions, reminding everybody how to kayak. And it's a little bit complex because you sort of have to do, in many cases, the opposite thing. Like, if you want to go right, you have to, you know, paddle to the left and vice versa and all this stuff. So I'm listening intently to this refresher course while C. Eric Scott, the partner in my kayak here, bless his little heart, was paying more attention to setting up the cameras and things. And basically they said, okay, the guy in the back, you're kind of the engine. The guy in the front is the captain. So I am in the front. So here we go, we get in this awkward, you know, bouncing little kayak, two-man kayak, and we set off, and I quickly realize that C. Eric Scott in the back, he didn't get the instructions down pat, but he thinks, you know, he knows what to do, because again, Mr. Eagle Scout. Next thing I know, we are on a crash course with a yacht sitting there, and I'm saying, Eric, do this, do that, and he's like, no, he's trying to tell me what to do, and it's not working at all. And suddenly, I know there's camera footage out there. I'm not proud of it. Where in the audio, you can hear me finally lose my cool, and I'm screaming, Eric, shut the blank up! I'm the captain! Here is what you are going to do! I'm the captain of this kayak! You are the engine! And we barely cleared this yacht, almost got clotheslined, because they have these big lines in front of them that are hard to see at night. So once we kind of got the swing of things, we move into the mangroves there. And my goodness, it's pitch black when you're under the canopy of the mangroves going through this little channel, huh, Shelley?
Oh, yes.
And that's when you start to see the bioluminescence. Every time you stroke your paddles, you see, you know, these big blue, it looks like blue light stick glow. And it's just,
it's an amazing phenomenon, and it really, there were moments when I'd look up and I'd say, this is almost like going through some kind of Disney World ride, except you're powering the ride, which kind of sucks a little bit.
And you don't have to listen to the awful music.
Were you the captain of your kayak, Shelley Rose?
I was, but I, yeah.
How did that work out for you?
Not real well. I say there is no shame in being at the very, very back, losing your group in front of you and having to have a guide, kind of put his little line on your boat and row for you and get you caught up. I was quite fine with that.
Right.
Patty was embarrassed. I have no shame.
So you got towed around a little bit.
A little bit, yes. I would have been happy to get towed around a lot more. Oh. But, yeah, we had to show a little bit more effort.
Yeah, well, it's tricky because some of those areas are really shallow and narrow that you're going through. And you got traffic that's coming back in the opposite direction. You got to get over on the other side or you're playing bumper kayaks.
And if you get too close to the people in front of you, you hit them, and the people behind you will hit you. And we got behind one kayak that didn't have any kind of light on it at all. You could barely see them.
Yeah. So after our Bio Bay experience, the magic of and the wonder of nature, we get into our shuttle heading back to Old San Juan, and we decide it becomes time to discuss a tradition for visitors to the island. The Puerto Rican nickname. Everybody who spends significant amount of time in Puerto Rico gets their own little nickname. Now, long ago, mine was established as El Fantasma, the ghost. But we look at Shelley with her red hair, and I immediately realize, oh, what? How about Rojo? How about we do Rojo for you? And you didn't like that for some reason, Shelley.
I wasn't too keen on that.
You Rojo, but maybe we can just shorten that. We'll just call you
Rojo,
right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Oh, and he said this just all the time. Rojo, Rojo. No, I don't like that name.
But apparently the feminine version is Roja.
Yes.
So Roja worked probably a little bit better, unfortunately. So you're Roja.
I am Roja.
You're Roja. And Patty, she liked, what was it, like Esmeralda or something like that?
Escalera.
Escalera.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Demente is pretty easy for her. She's Demented Patty. Her name is Patricia Dement, and we thought, oh, Demente, but, oh.
She did not like that.
She didn't care for that, did she? So she's Escalera. Oh, she wants to seduct him. I'm Escalera, not Demente. So, what did Escalera mean?
Stairs.
Stairs?
Stairs.
What was the reason for that?
Because she hated climbing all those stairs.
Justin was El Capitan.
Yes.
Is that right? He got a pretty cool name. Connie ended up being La Princesa, I think.
Yes.
Andrea. What was Andrea's?
Oh, what was Andrea's?
We had trouble trying to figure out her name, and I can't even remember what they settled on.
By that point, there was a lot of beer involved.
Yeah.
A lot of beer.
Susan was, La Serena? Is that right? Was she
La
the mermaid?
Serena.
The mermaid?
Yes.
See, Eric, his name's been long established. Ojo, I believe is what his, the I. El Ojo. So he gets to be a ho. El Ojo.
Well, that's fine. Later, it can be a hoe.
But yes, we got back, worn out, ready to hit the sack. Next morning, didn't you go to have your breakfast at the Cafe Cultura?
Yes. It was fabulous. I even took a picture of my breakfast.
They really are serious about their coffee in Puerto Rico. And when they bring your coffee out, they have a little artwork on top of it.
They do.
Like, when I got some coffee there, they literally had written Puerto Rico and made a little beach scene on top of it. What did they do for you, Shelley?
Well, I asked for just a regular cup of coffee, so I got an Americano, and I got warm milk with it. So they didn't do any special kind of scene for me. But everybody else who had a coffee drink, they had a pretty little design on it. It was very nice.
You were discriminated against in the coffee shop.
I don't know. It was mighty good. I didn't feel discriminated against.
And later that day, we went to the Barrachina to experience the original pina colada. That's where it was invented, I think the 1960s, in this wonderful little bar, the Barrachina. How would you describe the original pina colada, Shelley Wright?
Anything I say is going to sound lame. It was yummy. It was amazing. It was everything you said it would be and more.
Everybody agreed that was a pretty amazing drink.
Yes.
The original. And because, you know, you can find pina coladas on every corner, but there's nothing like the Barrachina pina colada. Made with the Ron Darlito, the higher class rum there on the island.
And that makes all the difference.
It really does.
It does.
Yeah, you can just sit there and sip that stuff like a digestif after
and
the meal.
And of course, we only had time for the one.
Yeah, that's true. And then later that day is when we went to the beach. We did some snorkeling, as we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And then that evening, we got together on the rooftop terrace there of the Milano. And that's when we sat down with El Brujo for a little lesson. We were going to do some UFO watching, but first he sat down and talked to us about the spiritualism on the island. But first he had a special treat for us, a fine beverage called a Pitoro, which he had made himself about 5 years ago. I've mentioned this on the show before. There are different versions of Pitoro, but this Pitoro is it's a very strong, I don't know if you call it a liquor or a liqueur, I'm not sure, but it's like 195 proof.
Oh, yeah.
And
delicious.
Yeah. And it was buried in the ground for like a year he has a secret recipe. And you sip a shot of this, and you'll be sitting there, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, that just kicked in, right, Shelley?
Actually, everybody else had that happen to them.
Not you?
Not me, and I had two shots.
Wow. Well, it was a special elixir.
It was absolutely amazing.
And the cool thing is, you know, we sit there and we talk to him about the spiritualism on the island, which is a very rare thing to have in an expedition like this. I was only able to arrange that because of friendship. But we began our UFO hunt after that. Now, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you what happened when we broke out third-generation night vision goggles on a rooftop in Old San Juan. And it didn't take long before we started hearing unbelievable exclamations and amazing excitements throughout the group. I'm telling you the truth. I will explain when we return. We're telling you about the expedition we just returned from to the Bermuda Triangle to Puerto Rico. One of the three points of the triangle goes from roughly Miami to Puerto Rico to the island of Bermuda. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. We'll be right back. broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. Don't forget, you can go to joshuapwarren.com if you want to see an amazing ghost photo with enhancement, and also a link to the Paranormal Puerto Rico Expeditions where you can go with me and experience some of this stuff for yourself, depending on how my TV shooting schedule works out down there the rest of the year. And speakingofstrange.com has links to all kinds of good stuff as well. The Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours, more weird news, and there's a live chat that always takes place during this program. You can access through speakingofstrange.com as well. Well, you know, our friend, our great friend who is always 110% behind our research and everything we do, is Lemur investigator Dean Worsing up there in Maryland. And he was kind enough to send me a couple pairs of his night vision goggles, third generation. Now, the third generation night vision goggles cannot be legally taken out of the United States because it's considered sensitive intellectual property for national security reasons. It's so integral to operations done by the military. But Puerto Rico is, it's no different than going to another state, really. I mean, it's not a state, but it's just like, I mean, you don't need a passport to go there. I mean, Shelley, did you have to go through anything different there than if you'd flown to Florida?
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's very simple.
It's a territory.
Yeah. So we were able to take the third gen down there. And so here we were on a rooftop terrace in Old San Juan. And there were several people in our group, of course, who had never seen a UFO. And I said, well, you're going to have the best chance of your life tonight. Even though the sky was patchy, you know, it'd be clear for a while and then cloudy. And we start handing the goggles out and giving people turns. And it didn't take long before we heard the hoops and the hollers and the oh my gods. Right, Shelley? Am I exaggerating?
No, you are not.
Everybody was flipping out seeing, because I gave everybody a little education here on here's how to rule out satellites and space junk and all this kind of stuff. And the things that people were seeing shooting around the sky, I mean, even C. Eric Scott was flabbergasted, a guy who has gone on I don't know how many investigations and TV shoots with me. C. Eric Scott even saw a UFO appear that made this bizarre, like, S-shape in the sky and then shot off into space. People were seeing these craft do all kinds of weird stuff, and it's not surprising at all to me because I've seen some of this down there with my naked eyes. I happen to believe that there is, there's an enormous amount of UFO activity in the Bermuda Triangle in general. But there also is a military base down there, and it's called Campamento Santiago, and the stuff they do is very mysterious. And I think that there is a connection because a lot of people have seen these UFOs zipping around that part of the island where the base is. And in some cases, broad daylight, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, you'll have 100 people will look off to the side of the interstate, and they will see a huge silver flying saucer disc just hovering next to the road for a few minutes before it zips away. So it was a thrill that almost everybody got to see a UFO and go home with a story about it, and that's one of the wonderful things about this trip. And we want to thank Mr. Dean Worsing for his generosity because, you know, it would be fun just to sit back and look at the sky, but there's nothing like third-gen night vision, is there, Shelley?
No, there is not.
Nothing in the world like that. The next day, we went into a catacomb under the San Francisco Cathedral there, where they had a lot of bodies buried. And then we went to the Capilla del Cristo, which is a chapel of miracles. In the 1700s, horse racing used to be very popular up and down the street outside La Fortaleza, where the governor lives. And at one point in this really, you know, high-octane horse race, the horse just stumbled and went off a cliff. And one of the officials there screamed, "Christ of good health, save him!" and this guy fell like probably 100 feet down this cliff on this horse. Well, the horse died, but the guy was unscathed, and they considered it such a miraculous event that this chapel, this small chapel, was built there, and it's run now by a bunch of sort of volunteer old Puerto Rican ladies. You never know exactly when it's going to be open. But people have gone in there and been healed of everything you can imagine, of blindness, of various, you know, physical handicaps. And there are little pendants on the walls that represent things that have been healed, like you might find a little set of lungs, or you might find an eyeball, or a little leg, or whatever. And it's a beautiful, peaceful little place. And I think you brought back some souvenirs from there, didn't you, Shelley?
I did. I brought back some souvenirs, said a little prayer in there.
Yeah, it's a healing place. It's a chapel of miracles. And but again, you know, all the water around there, I think, is healing as well. And after that, we went to the big San Juan Cathedral, which is the second oldest cathedral in the entire hemisphere. It was built in the, I think, like the 1520s or something crazy like that. It's in front of a big gate, the gate to the city. And these sailors who'd been out on the ocean for months or even years, when they finally set foot in San Juan, they would pass through the gate, they would kneel down, they would say a prayer, and then they'd head straight up the hill and go into the cathedral. And when you get into the cathedral, which is very impressive, I mean, you find the tomb of Ponce de Leon there, who was the guy who was the first governor of Puerto Rico. He was exploring all the time. He was obsessed with finding the Fountain of Youth. And he, as a matter of fact, was killed by natives at one point. He got shot with an arrow in his explorations. He discovered Florida. Ponce de Leon is entombed there, but also next to his tomb is a relic, a dead body of a saint called Saint Pius. And apparently, if I'm remembering correctly, in the 1800s, the official in charge of the church was able to go on a special VIP trip to the Vatican. And he was told he could go through the archives and the storeroom of the Vatican, which is probably like the storeroom at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, I'm imagining, a big warehouse like this, and pick whatever he wanted to bring back. And of all the things he had access to, he chose the body of St. Pius, a man who was murdered by the ancient Romans and martyred because he would not renounce Christ. So now you see the body of St. Pius there, and it's a very spooky-looking body because part of the body is bare, where you can see the skeletal remains. Part of it has been kind of made up with almost like a porcelain sort of skin. But even that doesn't look very lifelike. It looks like a dead guy laying there, doesn't it, Shelley?
It does. And very fragile.
Yeah. And you saw St. Pius for us when you went to Puerto Rico.
Yes.
If anybody's listening and you want to see a picture of St. Pius's face, there is one posted. If you scroll down, if you go to paranormalpuertorico.com, you'll see some pictures at the bottom, and one of them is St. Pius's face. It's interesting how that, you know, it's acceptable to show dead people in various Catholic churches like that. And at this church, you could buy a bottle of holy water. And it says holy water right there on it. It's like something out of a vampire movie. And they put the holy water in it very carefully for you. It's the real deal, and you take it home. And I bought some. Did you buy some, Charlotte?
I bought some.
Did it burn when you poured it on your skin?
Ooh.
Did it bubble? No? What are you going to do with your holy water?
I don't know. I'll burn stuff. I don't know. I'll need it at some point.
Put it in a squirt gun? Just carry it around like Lost Boys? Yeah, that was pretty cool. Neat little thing to get. Next, we went to El Morro. And then we went to a place where there's a dungeon where the pirates are executed. Very cool place. I'll tell you about that when we return. We're talking about Puerto Rico, my friends, our latest expedition to the Bermuda Triangle. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is the program where we dig into, well, all kinds of weird stuff. And trust me, even though I'm going to be down in the Bermuda Triangle a lot the rest of this year, you're going to love some of the reports that I'll be sending back on the show. We'll be sort of alternating between best ofs and live reports, and sometimes we may have a show that's a little bit of both. So we'll continue our story when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is a program keeping you company tonight. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Shake that thing, miss. Can I shake that thing, miss? And I better shake that thing, yeah. Da-da-da-da, Jody and Rebecca. Woman, get busy. Just shake that booty non-stop. When the beat drop, just keep shaking it. Get jiggy, get drunk up, percolate. Anything you want, because it's oscillating. If I don't take pity, I want to see you get life on the rhythm of my ride. I'm a lyric up about electricity. Girl, nobody can do you nothing, cause you don't know your destiny. Yo, sexy ladies want war with us. Inna the car with us, them not war with us. Inna the club, them want flex with us. They get next with us, them can't vex with us. From the day my bonds, I ignite my flame. Girl, I call my name, and it is my fame. It's a good girl, turn me on. Till I heard them on, let's get it on. Let's get it on, till I heard them on. Girl, it's a good girl, turn me on. Girl, don't sweat it, don't get agitated. Girl, go on, rotate, car. Anything you want, you know you must get it. Come in my bitch and no easy tension. Girl, what the program, just walk in it. Now have a good time, girl, free up on the mind. Cause nobody can get the man, won't let it. Cause you are the number one, girl, wave your hand. Let them see the wedding band. Yo, sexy ladies want power with us. Inna the car with us, them not war with us. Inna the club, them want flex with us. They get next to us, them not vex with us. From the day my bonds, I ignite my flame. Girl, I call my name, and it is my fame. It's a good girl, turn me on, till I heard them on, let's get it on, let's get it on, till I heard them on, girl, it's a good girl, turn me on, come on, get busy, just shake that booty non-stop, when the beat drop, just keep singing it, get jiggy, get drunk up, percolate, anything you want, because it's oscillating, if I don't take pity, want to see you get live, when the rhythm is a ride, I'm a lyric up about electricity, girl, no rolling, can't tell you nothing, cause you don't know your destiny.
Puerto Ricans are extremely nice people. They'll bend over backward for you, especially if you're Shelley Wright. Isn't that right, Shelley?
Yes.
Yeah, weren't you getting quite a few compliments down there?
Yes. They're very nice.
Mm-hmm. And, because, you know, you don't look like the typical Puerto Rican lady.
No. There aren't a lot of redheads running around.
What? Give us an example of maybe a time when you were complimented.
Whoa, baby! Yeah. Something like that.
And where did this happen?
It happened on one of the streets. I'm walking along, and I didn't even realize it was one of our friends that was with us that said something about it. Yeah.
Well, that was your big shot.
I was oblivious.
Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. And, yeah, we're talking about our latest expedition to the Bermuda Triangle. And, which, of course, there's no more fun place to explore the Bermuda Triangle than right there in Puerto Rico. And if you go into Old San Juan by ship, the very first time Forrest and I went in there was by ship. I'll never forget being on the balcony of the ship as we came in the morning, and as the fog is sort of seething and parting, you see up ahead this big rocky cliff capped by a sentry box. And it's the most dramatic, spooky, surreal-looking thing. And that is the Fort El Morro, which was built on the backs of slaves in the 1500s, early 1500s. As soon as the Spaniards came in, and you know how the Spaniards are, or at least they used to be, they would come in and just start enslaving people and building stuff, and they built this just intimidating fort. And it was really difficult to invade Puerto Rico, because there was only one area, a channel of water where it was deep enough for you to really bring in a sizable ship, and there was sort of a bottleneck where they would have cannons on either side and just blast you from both sides. And they'd bounce the cannonballs over the water to prevent from shooting each other in the crossfire, right? So instead of shooting straight at the ship, they would just shoot it and bounce it along, and it would bounce and hit the ship. So it was a highly defendable place, which is why it went back and forth and back and forth. But El Moro is where a lot of pirates were executed. One of the more prominent ones was Roberto Cofresi. And he was kind of a Robin Hood-like figure on the island. Supposedly he would steal things and give to the poor, and so a lot of folks loved him. But he was, I think they hanged him there. And there's still a legend that the pirate treasure of Roberto Cofresi is in a cave somewhere on the island. Who knows? There are lots of caves on the island. But we got on top of El Moro with a nonstop wind just whipping. And there is a really beautiful part of tower where there's a scenic view of the coastline with the city in the back. And we figured this is a very photogenic moment to issue each person his or her Bermuda Triangle Investigator Certificate. It's a specialized certification saying that you've made the trip to go down there and learn all these facets of what happens in the Bermuda Triangle. Any thoughts on that particular scenario, Shelley Wright?
My hair looked like crap. All of us girls had hair that looked like crap, but it was beautiful. It was absolutely gorgeous, so, you know, we kind of overlooked the hair thing.
The wind is nonstop. On the outside of El Moro, the sky is full of kites.
And that was the coolest thing. All these kites, all these kids running around with their kites, and then you have the fort in the background. It was amazing.
And then right below the hill next to the fort is one of the craziest looking old cemeteries you've ever seen, huh?
All white.
Yeah. Just chock full.
Chocked full, this square area, and just old and white and beautiful, sitting right there by the sea.
Yeah.
Well, one thing I want to know is, did you see the famous cats?
Oh, absolutely.
El Gatos.
Yeah, the cats are very sacred there. There are a lot of feral cats running around all over the place. And they were originally brought in by the Spaniards because they wanted to keep rodents at bay on their ships. And so now there are statues to cats, and there are cats running around. And of course, the folks in San Juan, the animal control officials, they go around once a year, and they round them up, and they give them vaccinations. But there were plenty of big cats. Now, I don't think you ever got to see the mother lode, though, did you, Shelley?
The mother lode.
Yeah. There's one street that I don't think we got a chance to go up on this trip, where you go by sort of it's kind of an alley, and I mean, there's always like 100 cats there just hanging out. It's like something out of a Stephen King novel. So, you probably never saw the mother lode of cats, did you?
I guess not.
But you
still probably take them all home.
Kitty, kitty, kitty.
That many cats could kill you. Just little house cats could jump on you, 100 of them, and eat you. You better be careful.
Such a lovely thought.
Rip your face off.
Yeah. Killed by Puerto Rican kitties.
Wow.
And then next we went to the what they call sort of the land-based fort, San Cristobal, which was built in the 1700s. San Cristobal has a dungeon down below, which is a very popular part of the attraction, because you go deep down these tunnels, and you get to this dungeon, which would have been a miserable place to have been crammed in with a bunch of other prisoners in the dark heat below. And what's so amazing is that when you get in there, some of these prisoners from who knows how long ago scrawled the most intricate drawings, sketches that you've ever seen of ships and nautical things. And they're sealed behind glass that you can look at them and see, how incredible the talent is. I'm sure if you get online and do a search for San Cristobal, that's spelled it's S-A-N, second word is C-R-I-S-T-O-B-A-L, San Cristobal. You can see some of these sketches, these drawings. But when we were down there, I was doing a little ghost hunting. I had my meters out. And at one point, Andrea said, I get a feeling about this one spot on the wall back there. So I went to that exact spot she was talking about. And did you hear the meter, Shelley?
Mm-hmm, I did.
I mean, and here we are deep underground where there shouldn't be anything causing that much cross-contamination, and the meter's just like, just like big burst of energy. Who knows why at that spot? We were kind of rushed at San Cristobal because it was getting later in the day, and we'd been at a restaurant earlier, and the service is not the fastest in, on island time.
Ah, island time.
But it's a very spooky place, but I tell you what makes San Cristobal the spookiest. Outside of the fort, down the cliff next to the water, jutting out on this sort of rocky outcropping, is one of these sentry boxes, or what they call a garita. And this is perhaps the most notorious site on the island. They will not even allow you to go down and get next to it anymore. It's called La Garita del Diablo, or the Devil's Guard Box, or the Devil's Sentry Box. And for hundreds of years, if you were stationed at San Cristobal, you did not want to get placed on that duty in that guard box, because you're way down there, out there by yourself, and over and over and over, guys would just vanish. And those who didn't vanish would often talk about seeing these kind of metallic fogs that would roll in off of the ocean, very similar to the other Bermuda Triangle-type stories that you hear. So you can imagine, Shelley, it's getting dusky or it's late at night, and you're out there in that box all by yourself, and you know that people vanish there all the time, and the ocean's starting to get angry. And now you look out and you see these lights and weird phantasmal things rolling in and surrounding you. And now, you're a part of the Bermuda Triangle lore. And that's why the position of that singular guard box jutting out there into the ocean, I have always personally envisioned as the point of the point of the Bermuda Triangle. And would you go down to that thing, Shelley?
We tried.
Well, even what we tried to do was just get a better look at it.
Right.
The only way you could go down to it would be to cut through a neighborhood down below called La Perla, which is a place they say, that's the one little area you might want to steer clear of as a tourist. And so I don't know anybody who's ever actually gone down to the guard box. You'd have to have some guts to make it through La Perla. You don't know what's going to happen there. But it was extremely cool. I tell you what, we're after that, we went off that night and we had some fun. And it ended with what we're going to call a mustache party. Now, what exactly is a mustache party? I think we kind of invented it spontaneously. I will explain what a mustache party is best I can. We'll see if Shelley can help us when we return. Because this is the show where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. Where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange.
Last night got bills to pay. my head just feels in pain. I miss the bus and they'll be hell today. I'm late for work again. And even if I'm there, they'll all imply that I might not last today. And then you call me and it's not so bad, it's not so bad. And I want to thank you for giving me the best day of my life. And oh, just to be with you, you're sending me the best day of my life.
We're in the final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. Coming up next hour, well, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. That's when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news, not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And real news stories, nonetheless, but that's why we save them for the end, when it's late at night. And we're wrapping up our discussion about our latest expedition to Puerto Rico, even though we could go on and on. You know, we went that night and we went to a brewery to have dinner, and they brought out these big towers of beer. Have you ever had that experience before, Shelley?
No.
I hadn't either. We live here in Beer City.
What were they called, yards?
I don't know. They could have been. It was just like a big, I would say, like an acrylic tower of beer.
Okay, I'm in.
You should see some of the pictures of this. They would just, we had two of them on our table.
Two of them. There was an ice core.
Yeah. Literally an ice core. So the beer is just as cold as it's going to get. And there's a little spigot on the bottom. And everybody just turns the spigot around and fills your beer at your own pace. That's a pretty good idea, huh? Why is it in Asheville, Beer City, you can't get that?
Maybe that's your next big idea.
Well, you better jump on it real fast, because now I'm talking about it on the radio.
I don't know. Things are a little faster in Asheville. Service is faster than,
yeah,
than in Puerto Rico, where they're on island time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. So we killed a couple of these towers of beer.
Yes, we did.
The twin towers of beer.
Yeah.
Not to mention whatever we added on with our own little cocktails. And then we decided to go to a party street called San Sebastian, which is one of those places that, see, Shelley, if you'd have been by yourself, I think you would have gotten more compliments there.
Uh-huh.
San Sebastian Party Street. It's funny because, you know, that when you go to places like that, that's when you know you're getting old. When the bartender looks like she's 12 and...
They all looked like they were 12.
Everybody looks so young. Everywhere going out and partying and dancing and wiggling their hips around. But I did a little of that too. So, anyway, after San Sebastian, we decide, hey, let's go have a party in somebody's room. We have a lot of booze that has to be drunk up tonight, because you can't take this on the airplane in some cases. And we had plenty of our own little stash. So we went to a particular room, and we're having a good time. We are enjoying our last night on the expedition. And I went to my room to grab something, and I realized, I don't know why this occurred to me, but I realized, you see, whenever Eric and I travel around and shoot these segments, we like to bring a little like kit of costuming materials so we can do funny reenactments. You know, we did a lot of that stuff for Paranormal Paparazzi, but it didn't make the cut. Everybody thought in the production it was hilarious, but when it came down to it, you know, as I've talked about before, they're like, come on. This is too funny for the show, guys. We got to have a more serious tone. So in this particular case, for this particular project, I figure, you know, we'll give these reenactments a shot. But I'm digging around, and I reach into my bag, and I pull out the mustache kit. Now, Am I exaggerating, Shelley?
No, you're not.
It's literally a sealed package with about a dozen different mustaches. And what does it say at the top? Mustache kit. That's what it's called.
Are they like real mustaches? Are they velvet? Or are they like...
They're not real mustaches.
I mean, do they look like real hair? Or are they just like...
No, they look like real hair.
Okay, they're just not these little paper mustaches.
No, they're furry. Fall.
Okay.
They're furry.
They're all named.
Cousin Ed.
Yeah. Like, what would the name be? I can't even remember. Like
Wilford Brimley?
Yeah, Wilford Brimley, Charlie Chaplin, this is the jail guard, this is the what... So I break out the mustache kit. And suddenly, the mustaches start ending up on various body parts.
The mustaches are flying everywhere.
Instead of under the nose, the mustaches, we're having a little bit too much creative fun with the mustaches.
Yes.
And good old Patty, demented Patty, she's always got the iPhone rolling, and she shot some footage that will hopefully always remain within the care of our private party.
Yes.
So we ended with a big bang mustache experience. Use your imagination. When we get back from this break, it will be time for the Dark 30 Hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. This is the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.